I believe that I shared with you some time ago that during my first pregnancy with Jennifer, I was hospitalized and placed on bed rest. What I shared with you is that, or did not share with you, is that pregnancy and I didn't get along too well. Indeed, with each subsequent pregnancy, although I was not formally on bed rest, by noon each day I would start having contractions, and consequently I would have to lay down on the couch on my left side, drink a glass of water every hour for the remainder of the day. No small feat during my pregnancy with Jessica, with a highly energetic 2.5-year-old named Jennifer and a traveling husband. Not knowing how else to keep Jennifer busy in a small condominium, Jennifer and I watched movie after movie after movie after movie together. Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Lady and the Tramp, Rescuers, Fox and the Hound, 101 Dalmatians, Aristocats, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, The Sword and the Stone, and Pete's Dragon. After weeks and weeks and weeks of watching these 14 movies over and over and over again, one afternoon, my 2.5-year-old said to me, "Mama, can we watch your music movie instead?" "My what?" "Your music movie." "Jen, I'm afraid I don't know what movie you're talking about." In response, Jen got up off the floor beside me saying, "You know." Anybody guess it? Mary Poppins dressed in a nun's habit, Julie Andrews dressed in a nun's habit, spinning on the green mountainside singing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." Wow. There is something, when I don't sing, about the sound of music. During the so-called golden age of filmmaking, Walt Disney recognized this. Indeed, Disney himself said, "There is something about music. You can run any of these pictures and they'd be dragging and boring. But the minute you put music behind them, they have life and vitality that they don't get in any other way." Walt Disney wove music into his stories, the stories he told through animation. And in so doing, his feature-length cartoons created an industry that is worth more than $391 billion this year alone. There is something about the sound of music. But what? What is it about music? Human hearing falls in the frequency range of 20 to 20,000 hertz. Hertz is a unit of measure which measures sound according to the number of vibrations per second. Interestingly, bird songs typically fall within a frequency range of 1,000 to 8,000 hertz, which is, so to speak, the sweet spot of human hearing. It appears that there is a perfect match between bird songs and our human ability to hear. Gordon Hempton, an acoustical ecologist, has proposed that this perfect match between bird songs and our ability to hear suggests the possibility that our hearing evolved to hear bird song. According to Hempton, bird song, as he calls it, is a prime indicator of habitats prosperous to humans. Habitats with ample food and water and a growing season favorable to raising young in the nest. Habitats vital to human survival. As an ecologist who studies sound in environments, Gordon Hempton asserts that our nomadic ancestors would have therefore learned to associate birdsong with survival. Our nomadic ancestors would consequently have been drawn to the songs of birds, evolving a narrow bandwidth of supersensitive hearing, matching perfectly the frequency range of birds and their singing, and experiencing emotions and feelings of well-being in response to the sound of their music. Now, lest you think that this bird theory sounds a bit feather-brained, understand that scientists have begun to study the human brain's response to music, and what they have found is music induces a neural response in the pleasure center of the human brain, specifically in the mesolimbic reward pathway, which is the pathway stimulated by Ritalin, nicotine, morphine, and cocaine. And it is the same pathway, perhaps not coincidentally, which is stimulated in the brains of birds when they hear the song of other birds. It would seem the sound of music triggers and activates an ancient evolutionary neuropathway, which has been critical to our survival when we were nomads, and still is critical to social contact and consequently survival for birds. There is indeed something about the sound of music. Music draws us to it and creates in us emotions and feelings of well-being. God, as our creator, knows this about us, and consequently, our God inspired the psalmist to write, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his." We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God knows there is no greater joy, no greater delight than knowing that we belong to God, knowing that we are God's people, knowing that God is our shepherd and we are in God's loving care. There is no greater joy than knowing God's love for us. And God also knows there is no better way to express that joy of knowing we are God's people than by singing. There is no better way to experience such delight in knowing we are God in God's care than by listening to song. For there is something about the sound of music that speaks to our souls, assuring us of well-being, assuring us of eternal survival, assuring us of God's unending love. Knowing this, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the Christians in Ephesus, saying, "Live as the children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Everything exposed by light becomes visible, for everything visible becomes light. Therefore, I say, sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. There is something about the sound of music that can open our souls to the Spirit of God so that God can fill our hearts to overflowing the joy of God's love. There is something about the sound of music that is powerful, so very powerful. It has the capacity to activate our neurons, trigger our emotions, inflame our feelings, and speak to our souls. And this is a very good thing, except when it is not. When, for example, we forget that music is not magic, it's a miraculous gift from God. When we forget that it is not about the music, but about worshiping and praising the giver of good gifts. When we forget that it is not about we who are singing, but the one to whom we belong. When we forget that it is not about those who lead us in song, but about the shepherd who leads us to eternal life. When we forget that music is merely an expression of our joy and not the source of our delight, then we can fall into a sort of foolish drunkenness, drinking a spiritual wine of our own vocal making, which Paul reminds us is debauchery. Now, I had to look up this word, debauchery. Debauchery is defined as excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Listen again. Excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. I'll bet you never thought of music in that way. I don't think I ever have either. However, Paul is, I believe, actually informative, for Paul understood that when we indulge in sensual pleasures, even the spiritual wine of music, then music can become a source of conflict, frustration, even anger, rather than an expression of joy and an experience of delight, which is what God intends the gift of music to be for us. When we find ourselves individually or communally angry, frustrated, and in conflict over music, we need to look to Christ, who, after telling his disciples, "I am the true vine," said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done, for my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. I have said these things so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete." Here, Jesus reminds us that God wants us to be joyful, not for the sake of the emotion itself, however pleasurable it is for us to be filled with joy, but to be filled with the joy of the Spirit, which is rooted in knowing how very much God loves us, in knowing how very much God loves you, in knowing, truly knowing, that we are always, always, always in God's loving care. Knowing this truth of God's never-ending love fills us with overflowing joy so that we can sing. For there is something about the sound of music that expresses our joy in the Lord like nothing else. So, my good people, with the psalmist today, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. for our Lord is a great God. Amen. Now let us all join together in our next hymn. Now let us affirm our faith together. God, the Holy Spirit, fulfills the work of reconciliation in humanity. The Holy Spirit creates and renews the church as the community in which men and women are reconciled to God and to one another. God enables them to receive forgiveness as they forgive one another and to enjoy the peace of God as they make peace among themselves. In spite of their sin, God gives them power to become representatives of Jesus Christ and his gospel of reconciliation to all people. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord God of joy and gladness, we come to you singing, making a joyful noise to you who are the rock of our salvation. We come into your presence with thanksgiving, making a joyful noise to you with songs of praise, for you are our Lord and a great God who calls us into your loving presence, making us your own, leading us to eternal life, guiding us through your never-ending care for us. We call upon you this day with prayers for those about whom we care. Prayers for healing and comforting prayers for John, Marlene, Jim, Michelle, Jesse, Tammy, Joyce, Ray, Louise, Rose, George, and all who suffer with health issues. We pray for comfort for Jack Baker's family and friends. We pray for Tina and Philip and Becky. And we pray, O Lord, for this church family, and most especially for the session. Give them the wisdom to lead this congregation through this season of change, so that they might be your witnesses here in this place for generations to come. We call you, Lord, to bring all of these for whom we pray into your living presence. We call on you to make them your own, to lead them to eternal life, to guide them in your never-ending care. We call on you when we pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, who leads us all in the ways of joy by teaching us about your gracious love for us, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Called to be the branches in the vine that is Christ, we are empowered to bear the fruit of God's joyful Spirit. Let us offer ourselves and our material goods in the service of God's spiritual harvest.
Next Sunday, we're going to feed you again. All you people at home, come to church. We're going to do the brunch again. We're going to have a good time. If any of you want to help, and we need help, be here at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, and we'll have fun making it. Let us pray. O God of joy and gladness, you call us to become the branches of the vine that is Christ. And through the work of your Spirit, you empower us to bear the fruit of joy. We give you thanks and adoration for the love you have for us and for our trust and for the trust you place in us. Use our gifts and our offerings so that the fruit of joy may abound in our hearts and flow from our lives, bringing forth a bountiful spiritual harvest in the world around us. Amen.
The Spirit of God inspires. Listen. The Spirit of God transforms. Grow. The Spirit of God empowers. Go and be full of joy with all those whom you encounter. And may those whom you encounter discover and know the continuous joy of God each and every day. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you.